This is a Stand Up New York Labs production, providing you podcasts since 2013.
It is what we do, baby!
This is Race Wars.
Race Wars.
I have the power!
With Kurt Metzger.
You're out of your fucking mind, dude.
And Sherrod Small.
Settle down, bitch.
Race Wars. Race Wars back in the building. Will you concentrate?
Oh.
We're back on. We're here. Kurt's not here because he's still in L.A. dancing for the Jews, but I'm here doing what I do, holding it down. We got a full house tonight. Full house. Brockett, introduce yourself to the people. Welcome to the show, first of all.
Hey, what's up? Great to be here, Sherrod. What's going on? It's Brockett.
Yes.
Glad to be here.
Tell people what you do for a living there, Brock.
Play keyboards. I'm a musician, and just glad to be here. Used to work at a club next door to where Sherrod works, so we go back a long way.
We go back a long time. Back to the Café Wah. Café Wah days.
That's absolutely.
Yeah, I used to go up there to eat my balls before the band came on.
Sherrod, a strong enough comedian to open up in the Café Wah.
Oh, yeah, I used to destroy that place. It was fun. Dez, introduce.
I'm Dez Bishop. I'm a comedian. My second time on the Race Wars podcast.
That is correct. You were great on the first time.
Yeah, I look whiter than I am in my soul, but, you know, I'm here to have a good time.
Now, remind people where you're originally from there, Desi.
Well, I'm from Queens originally, but lived in Ireland for most of my life, and now I'm back here in New York.
That's a weird mix. Ain't it weird to grow up in Queens and move to Ireland?
Yes. There's a wrong way sign when you immigrate to Ireland.
It's like when you're on a highway and everybody's going that way.
Yeah. The sign says you're going the wrong way.
You're
yeah.
going toward the disaster.
I did all right. Ireland picked up a lot in the time that I was there. But yeah, I was definitely a bit of a reverse immigrant.
Right.
My grandmother came here and then I returned. But now I'm back. I'm a man of the world.
So your grandmother came here.
My grandparents, my dad was from Ireland/England. He had kind of like a half and half accent, but he was not American.
Right.
But then my mother's parents came here, and my dad's mother, who was Irish, emigrated to England. So my dad was born in England. Then he came back to Ireland, raised in Ireland. He went back to England.
Now, what did your father consider himself, an Englishman, an Irishman?
Well, he said he was an Irishman.
Right.
But really, if you listen to him, he sounded more English.
Okay.
And then it depended who he was talking to also. He's a bit of a chameleon that
That's
way.
How you can do it. If you can do it, if you can hide it, you got to hide it sometimes.
Yeah, well, especially with the Irish and the English.
Yes. Dee, introduce yourself, Dee.
Hey, I'm DT. I love New York. I was born and raised in Houston, Texas. Came here in 97. We have something in common, Café Wah. I, you know, showed up there, and they loved me the first night I showed up.
Gnome loved this. Listen, you know Gnome, too. She knows Gnome.
Oh, yeah.
And you know Gnome. We all know Gnome.
We know Gnome.
Right, Gnome loved Dee. Every time you perform, that motherfucker, the place would be packed. This motherfucker, she would do a flip on that stage.
Backflip.
A backflip.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
In the performance.
They call me Flipper, faster than lightning.
And you know how small that, you know how low that ceiling is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't even jump there.
No space.
No space.
And, yeah, I'm known, they call me the Queen of the Wah.
Yes.
And they call me that for a reason, because I'm the first transgender person to ever be embraced at the Wah. And for over 20 years.
Yeah.
And I just love this place, man. To this day, Norm. Was the absolute best owner of a bar you could ever meet.
Yeah.
Gnome, back in the Gnome owning days.
Yeah. You know, I used to kick his ass, though. I would chase him down for my little $30. I deserve more than $30.
You know,
I got Moray.
There's been no inflation.
I had to kick his ass a few times. Like,
still $30 during the week.
And a motherfucking hamburger.
Just so you know, it's still $30.
Don't fuck with me. I still got balls.
That is too funny.
Yeah.
Do you miss being at the Wah all the time? Because you're back in Houston now, right?
Now,
you grew up in Houston?
I grew up in Houston, Texas, but you know, I you know, I'm all over the place. You know, I can't sit still. I got to spread my talent. I got to be known. I got to get out there. So I was born in Houston, Texas.
Now tell me about that. Let's go there first. Now, you know, you grew up in a church or some
shit? Bible Belt, that's right.
I knew it. I knew the church is on it.
Hallelujah.
Now, how did you bring all this out into your church?
Yo.
How did this go down?
That
was a long Sunday, goddammit.
In the Bible Belt.
Right, in the Bible Belt.
And black folk.
And black folk.
Grew up in a black Baptist church.
That's three the hard way.
Hallelujah.
That's some hardcore lack of acceptance.
But you know, girls like me was always in the choir.
Right.
I can sing.
Right.
So being blessed to have the most incredible, I would say, minister.
Okay.
And the father of the church was really an awesome person, because when I started to I guess, become obvious because I started the, what they call the androgynous kind of transition.
Right.
Because back when I was coming, I'm 50 years old.
Right. You look
so
great.
They would thank you so much, man. It's how you live and how you think and how you treat people. But when I was growing up, we was called punks, sissies, faggots.
Yeah.
Gay blades.
I heard all that today on the train. Sure, I yelled it, but so what?
Yeah. You still be a mess. But I've never had a problem because I've always owned
what you are.
Who
you
I
are.
Am, what I am, you know. And there was no shame, you know. And,
even in your own family, was it any, how much pushback?
It's worse in your own family usually, you know. But it was my grandmother who embraced me. She said, you know, you're going to be gay.
Right.
And I was trying to deny the shit and, you know.
You were dating girls and stuff?
Hell no.
Okay. Girls are gross? What are you doing?
I'm not saying girls are gross.
But how were you denying it? Were you like?
Well, I had an opportunity at one time. There was this chick that used to sing in the church with me, right?
Oh, we went on a road trip. And what happened?
I was like 16 years old. We was in this little, like, RV.
Okay.
On the road going to sing and shit, different places. She was fine, too. Gorgeous. I can't say her name because she got children and a husband. And they all know me and love me.
Right, okay.
But she say, give me your finger. So I took my finger. She put it in there. And that shit say, I say, fuck that shit.
You don't like that?
You didn't even.
Alien.
You didn't even want it. I would have killed for that
wet.
When I was 16.
That shit was
I had to
wet.
Beg to get my finger in there.
That's
that shit
hilarious.
Was wet. That shit say, it moist. Wrapped around my finger, and I knew right then and there I like dick.
Oh, okay.
That's it.
Right then and there.
Hell yeah.
That's all it took.
That's all it took.
Really?
I didn't want to fuck with that shit. It was wet. It was just too. It was
moist.
It's moist. It's beyond moist. And I felt around up in there, and it felt.
Yeah, but
just,
you was just a 16-year-old boy. We all get weirded out at first, and then you put the other fingers in there. You work with it.
I didn't want to fuck with that shit. I had been sucking dicks since what, 7, 8 years old.
What?
I didn't
want
to be bothered with that shit. I already made my mind up. I knew what I wanted. My mama kept catching me and some of the boys in school.
7, 8 years old?
In my neighborhood, humping. You know, we used to get booty.
Y'all
used to get booty, too. You know what get booty is?
No.
When you used to dry hump, you and little boys used to dry hump.
I never found myself dry humping some boys before.
You
dry hump some boys before, Dad. She's right.
Shit. Y'all used to make them play tents and shit. Don't be acting like
my
you
white daughter
never
Karen's
hump.
Here. This is my white daughter. She's just showing up.
Hey, what's up?
You never dry hump.
No, I dry hump girls.
You ain't
I
dry hump girls. I'm intuitive. You lying anyway.
Oh, wait a minute.
She's trying to gaydar me. Are you trying to gaydar me?
She sees something.
You look open minded.
Yeah, I'm open minded, but I just didn't find myself dry humping boys back in the day.
Right.
I went to Catholic school.
Yo, that's closed minded.
Catholic school is the first sign of it.
I'm just teasing.
No, Brocken, you grew up
with I came dry humping a girl when I was in Ireland. I was like 15 already.
Right.
Okay.
That was the first time
I had to try to hide the fact that I actually just came in my pants.
Right.
But I love women. Look at my image. You know, I love women. I admire women, you know. But back to the church thing.
Okay.
So I have to honestly say that, yo,
you love
I'm,
her already,
I'm,
don't
I'm blessed
I love
because
her so
I grew up,
much.
Well, thank
she loves
you,
her
girl.
Already.
Yes, oh my God.
Bobby
accusing
Allison
him of being close-minded
because
he won't dry home dudes,
you.
And you're right about him. He's
yeah,
close-minded.
No, she said, I'm open-minded. That I'm
you
denying my
not.
Open-mindedness.
Oh, yeah, but you're not.
That hair says I'd
hump
a boy.
That's the hair that I was born. I was born this way.
Hump a dude. I mean, just try it.
Give it a hand.
But my
child. You want to hear what she was talking about when her finger was in a pussy?
Dude
humping is the best.
It wasn't so positive.
Well, what happened in church then? When church?
I went to my minister.
Right. And how old were you when this was going on?
I think I was around about 16, 17.
Okay, now this is in Texas Bible Belt.
Houston, Texas, where they preach against it.
Yeah. Right.
And you're going to hell in a handbasket if you don't surrender and turn your wicked ways around and so forth. But my minister said, bless his soul, he's in heaven now. But I had grew up and was born and raised in the church.
Wait a minute, he's in
baptized
heaven?
Baptized in the church.
Did you kill
that.
Him? Right.
No. All right. He just got old.
Okay.
But let me tell you what happens. So I go up to him and I said to him, because I was in full makeup, honey. I said, you know who I am. I would like to sing in a choir, but like this.
Right.
He goes, I preach against it, but this is your church home. And tears ran down my face, and he gave me a hug. He says, this is your home.
Wow.
And
that's awesome.
My minister, who preached against it till he died, he said, I'm neither for it or against it. I'm for you.
Right. Oh, that's great.
And that helped my mom and my grandmother and everybody
accept
it
more.
Accept me
yeah,
because,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
they worship the preacher.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
and they really think about, they respect what he thinks about it. So now, it was great for him to take that hit.
Mm-hmm. I thought that, and, you know, it was a big church, so a lot, he risked a lot embracing me and accepting and allowing me to still sing in a choir and drag.
Wow.
That means a lot, yo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that was my first real experience in acceptance. And, of course, when I came to New York, and I performed at the Cafe Wa for an open mic.
Yeah.
I was so well received by Noam, the owner at the time, and a dear friend of mine to this day, and the band members. Every single one of these people are straight.
Yeah.
Period. Now, I know y'all want to hear me, you know, talk some shit, and maybe I have some secrets.
Right.
I honestly, truthfully, in the name of my God, I can't say that. These straight guys have never disrespected me, always embraced me, always treated me well. Welcome me to this day, yo.
You're a great performer,
I'm
though.
Blessed,
you're a great
yo.
Performer,
thank
and
you
know,
so much.
Fit right in. Well, Rocket, when was your first time when you started at the WA?
2006.
2006. You remember the first night?
Were you nervous? It was like it was the winter of 2000. I had come over from the club across the street, the Groove.
Right, right, right.
So I just thought it was a really good vibe. It was super
Another
friendly.
Another great location. Man.
Yeah, yeah.
Super friendly in there, and you know, Noam made me feel very comfortable. He had just sold the club. But he was still kind of like consulting with him, right. and he brought me up on stage, and we jammed, and we played a couple of solos. He let me like really stretch out, and I just felt it was a good vibe. I thought the crowd was, you know, just super cool.
Right.
It was a lot of fun. I know it sounds kind of like boring and shit.
No.
Man, I had a great time.
Shit. That's
you
great
learned
shit.
A lot.
Oh, definitely learned a lot
Noam
about performing.
A lot.
Yeah.
Definitely from the village. He learned it from his pops too,
great
from his Manny
ear,
doing it. Yeah.
Yeah. He does. Yeah. He has an excellent ear.
That is true. That's true. And you grew up where? Pennsylvania?
Summit, New Jersey.
Summit, New Jersey. My apologies for that. How was Summit? Thank you. Was Summit like, did you play music in high school?
Yeah, I played
you
trumpet.
You in a band?
Yeah.
Did you get chased home by niggas?
No, it was cool, man.
Okay.
My mom's like a real deep musician.
Okay.
She's a composer. And she's badass, so she taught me a lot.
Now, is any of your siblings, they play music as well?
I have an older brother who's a really good trumpet player.
Really?
Yeah.
That's fucking amazing. I always get jealous of people who can play instruments. It bugs me.
I can play. I play keyboards.
Oh, cool.
I don't play like you play, but, you know, I used to, you know, play in the church and everything.
Oh, that's awesome. That's a great way to get a good ear.
Yeah.
Good groove and good feel.
I also find that when I go other places, like I was in Austin, Texas recently, and I told them that I perform at Cafe WA, and they looked me up, Queen of the WA.
Right.
And they were like, oh, my God, you performed at the WA? I'm like, yeah, I get bookings like that.
Because the history of that place is fucking is real. Was it intimidating when you first started playing there?
Not really, because...
You first started playing in New York City, because when you came in from something, like when you first got your first gig in the city...
You remember Leonard?
Leonard.
The guy who plays at the Groove all the time?
Yes.
And he gave me one of my first gigs, and he taught me a lot. And that band was really tight, and I played with him for years. By the time I go over to the WA, I had played a lot already.
Right.
So, you know, I've just been playing a long time, so I just always had fun with it.
It's overwhelming how much fucking talent... It's down in that goddamn village.
Yep.
As far as just like any performance, musicians, comedians, that
twerkers.
Place is crawling with talent.
It really is.
What about some of the people you've met, though, like playing at the WA and Village Underground and Groove, like Cher Pepsi Riley? I love that woman.
Yeah.
She's amazing.
Unbelievable.
She is someone that I idolize in a way that I would like to present. Meeting Cher Pepsi Riley and Melanie Daniels, those two women especially, kind of calmed me down, my persona down. I will tell you why. One day, Cher Pepsi Riley came up to me. She says, I want you to be yourself on stage, because a lot of times I know you feel like you talk too much or you do the backflip. And because I used to tell her, maybe I'm talking too much or maybe I'm running the show. She said, no, I want you to be yourself, because that's what you do. That's who you are. So don't change that.
Yeah.
And she said to me, she said, and don't worry about how people see you, because you have something to offer too, no matter what it is. You have something to offer. You have an audience. Now, Melanie Daniels, another
you know
humble
Melody
soul.
As well, right?
She's a legend. She's one of the best I've ever heard, ever.
So humble. These two women are who I aspire
legends.
To try to emulate in my character and my personality when I'm out meeting people and people see me rising like a little rising star or whatever. I don't want an ego. And when you meet Melanie and you meet Cheryl, you don't see that. So I had to take the diva, because I was a queen, honey. I was a diva. And I learned how to, like, you know, put push that back and just be a humble, you know, good, decent, talented person. Your talent speaks for itself. So those two ladies got my heart. And Lynn Lockamy.
Lynn. You know Lynn as well?
I'm not sure I'm familiar with
back in the day when, remember Nails?
Yeah.
She used to have an open mic.
Oh, yeah.
And Nails. Lynn Lockamy.
That was a
thing, man.
I'm trying to remember that, like that night.
Yeah.
Like the night she had. Now, how did you, Braga, how did you get on tour? Like, how did you meet Gaga? How did that work out?
I had a couple of really good auditions, one in 2009 and 2010. The one in 2009 was with P. Diddy. Okay. On the show Making His Band on MTV.
Oh, that's right. I remember that. I remember the episodes. I remember I was watching it when you was on there. Yes, I remember that. That was
so
good.
That was a big open call audition. I did well on it, did well on the show. And then a couple months later, again, it was an audition in New York.
How much did you hate those people in that band, though? Come on, goddammit. The Making of the Band shit. You had to, then you have to live with other, like, people.
Yeah, we had to live in a house together, like 40 of us.
Oh, a reality TV show.
You know, it was like, it was a real
Daddy
deal.
Pops in every 24 now and again. Hours. Oh, that sounds like a fucking nightmare.
Oh, God.
So, y'all, 40 people in the house? 40?
Let me tell you, one time there was like, it was in California. One time there was like a small little earthquake, you know, like one of those small Richter scale things. Didn't really affect you much, but had never been in an earthquake before.
Right.
And I was like, wow, it's an earthquake. I was kind of scared because it's an earthquake. You know, a couple hours later, Diddy came in, surprised us, and said, yo, man, let's hear that music right now. What have you guys been working on? Let me tell you, he was so scary at that point that I forgot about being afraid of earthquakes.
That is hilarious.
He cured my shit, man.
That have to be intimidating. You see Puff Daddy coming in there, and you got to play for him right away?
Yeah, no, it was. You know, he's definitely...
What was he called back in those days?
I think it was P. Diddy.
It was P. Diddy in that era.
That show was huge.
Yeah, I didn't see it.
That
they filmed one episode at a segment or whatever at Cafe Y one night. I was there.
That was, oh, really?
Yeah.
That was probably making
three
the girls
that
making
couldn't
the band
sing at all. But they got on for their looks or some shit, you know.
Now, you auditioned for P. Diddy in 2009, did the show. Then how did Gaga come out of that?
A few months later, I auditioned for Gaga in 2010.
In New York City? Or
yeah. I went back to working at the Y for a few months.
Right.
And then I went to audition for Gaga. And then I just remember, like, it was a few days. I got the gig. Yeah. And then I remember just like walking up to Brian Stevens going, hey, man, did you hear? Did the owners tell you what's up? He goes, no, I'm going on tour with Lady Gaga. I'm leaving. This is my last night. He goes, no, man, I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
Couldn't give a shit.
He goes, I'm glad I know now. I guess we got to find a keyboard player.
That is too funny.
That is so Brian.
Oh,
though.
My God. That's too funny.
That's so Brian.
Now, how was Gaga working with? What, did she ask about me? My name had to come up sometimes, fucking Brockett.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to blow off the 9 non-disclosure agreements that I signed.
Oh,
and
did you really
talk about that specifically.
Did you really have to sign stuff?
No, just in general, any celebrity, they want to keep their personal stuff, you know, chill. And it's because they trust
but
the people.
But she never shut up about you, Sherrod. He's going to blow his anonymity.
They
got to
trust. They got to trust the people.
They
got to
trust
around.
People around them. Yeah.
So everybody, you know, they go through stuff like we do. So anyway, it's been great, man.
She's
like,
super fucking talented too.
It's been super inspirational.
Does she play? She plays piano as well.
She plays really well.
Really well.
Yeah, and I've learned a lot about performance. I've learned even my piano playing has increased. She plays a certain way, has a certain vibe.
Yeah.
And you know, she can make. She can play in front of 100,000 people and play really quietly on the piano, and there's no sound at all from the crowd, just so much power and presence.
Yeah.
It's really, really, it's one of the greatest, it's intense.
Really?
Really intense. And she did that at Coachella.
Right.
In 2017.
And quieted the whole crowd.
It was like when she got on the piano herself, and she just does what she does naturally, it's incredible amount of power there. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's really inspiring to any one of us that are performers.
Yeah.
The bottom line is we all have to believe in ourselves, you know?
Yeah. And like intoxicating them out.
I mean, you got to do it. If people want to feel what you're doing, you got to feel it yourself first.
Yeah. I remember when you first got that gig, where you was like, I'm going on tour with Gaga. And then like the next week, I turned the TV on. It's like Oslo somewhere in Europe. And I said, 100,000 people. And I see you later. I'm like, that motherfucker's already out there. Like, it was no middle. I didn't remember any middle ground between you saying, I'm going out with Gaga, and then I see you on TV with her.
I had put like 15 years in playing in the Village. Yeah. Up until that, that's just how it goes sometimes.
He was working out in the gym all that time. Then it was ready time for the big fight.
If I hadn't done those gigs, I wouldn't have gotten the gig. Yeah. I wouldn't have, you know, I played well at the audition, but I was confident because of, You know what I'm saying?
With all night, yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's you can't beat the fucking bands down in the village.
I was playing with killers in the village.
Killers, for years. Is a killer. Even when somebody's out, the next bass player, killer.
But they're generous as well. They like you. They don't care if you're a duck that can sing and do backflips. If you have that presence and you have that talent, that raw energy and that charisma, they will help you. Period. I find that New York is just that way, period. I mean, people come from other places and come with that New York, you know, false New York perceived attitude they see on TV. But the real true New Yorkers are very helpful and very giving. And I find that the energy in New York is so intense. You know, New York is like a portal.
Yeah.
It's like a, you know, everyone in the world, the center of the universe is right here in New York. But whatever you intend and you put your energy in, it conspire and help you to make it become a reality. Everything becomes a reality fast. Things manifest very fast here. For me, I experienced that,
Now, Brock, you got the album. You got that album coming out Friday, right?
Yeah.
What's the name of it?
It's called The Brocket Ship.
The Brocket Ship. Yeah. Ah, I can't wait for this. We're gonna play some of it on... What? Oh, I thought you was just looking at me. Yeah, we're going to play some of it on the show a little later.
Oh, great.
But what's the album about? Tell me about it. And did my track make it?
Yeah, your track is number one.
Okay, good. That's good to know. Then a cappella. Daughter, nothing?
Oh, right. No, yes.
Thank you.
I was thinking about the music.
Now, what's the album about? Like, what?
So, I'm into a bunch of different styles of music.
Yeah.
So, you know, I grew up playing a lot of jazz. I love rock. Yeah. I'm also got way into hip-hop. I've done tons of hip-hop sessions over the years, and it's part of, like, my DNA at this point.
Well,
you're staying
in a house with P. Diddy, so that must have been somewhere.
So I try to combine all that, and so it starts out with some jazz, and then I do a few hip-hop tracks, and then I break into kind of like some spaced out, sort of like referencing kind of like Pink Floyd, David Bowie kind of style.
Okay.
And then I get like real out with a fusion, and I even do a Radiohead cover.
Really?
Yeah.
So you do everything? You do everything? You play all the instruments and sing? Or how does it work?
So what I did is I got a bunch of friends to help me out. Uh-huh. And I have a very close friend named Adrian Harpum, who's from New York as well. Has been a drummer around the village, really more around the city for a long time, who's also a producer. And he produced the whole album. And we just did it together in about 6 months.
Wow.
So his sound is definitely imprinted on there. And then I also have a number of guests playing different instruments and a bunch of guest singers and vocalists and rappers on there as well.
Yeah.
I got Peter Guns on there. I don't know if you guys remember him.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Peter's great.
He's a good friend. Good friend.
Loving hip hop, Peter.
Yeah. Well,
loving hip hop.
He's real talented as a rapper.
He's at the Cellar all the time. He used to perform down there too.
He's always at Underground. Maybe
too. Yeah, Underground. Peter Guns. He's on Loving Hip Hop on VH1.
Okay.
Yeah. I think he might have been on Race Wars before.
Really?
I think maybe back in the day.
So I got my friend, Jamaro Artis is playing bass on a track, and he's Bruno Mars' bass player.
It's crazy.
And I also have on Three Cuts is this guy, a really interesting bass player who's really killing it right now. His name is Mono Neon.
Mono Neon.
And if you just check out his Instagram, he's just going crazy right now. He's one of the best, youngest, creative bass players in the game right now.
Really?
Yeah, totally.
And where's he from?
He's from Memphis.
Okay, that's where he should be from.
I never actually met him. I just heard his stuff online. It was so dope.
Really?
That I actually hit him up and asked if I sent him some tracks, if he'd be willing to add some bass to it. And he did. He was real efficient. He was fast. And he gave me pure fire.
Wow.
And he's killing on it, like really killing on it.
How old is he?
I'm not sure how old he is, but I think he's in his 20s. He's a young guy.
Man, like, you got to be a good bass player to stand out.
Because bass is something that you usually learn with maturity through them thumbs.
Really?
I think so.
Is it a mature thumb?
I think a lot of the bass players I like usually have got older, worn thumbs.
He's a rare, except like both these guys. Jamaro is a young guy as well.
Yeah.
Jamaro was on that Diddy show with me, by the way. He was another one of the winners that Diddy chose, by the way. And he's had a crazy career. Played with Bruno Mars for like 7 years. He's done like 2 Super Bowls with Bruno.
Wow.
And I was really blessed to have him on the record, as well as this guy, Mono Neon. They're both young, really. They've just been playing their whole lives, and
it must be crushing bass pussy.
when they say that like young guys like aren't great musicians these days, it's not like the old days. I'm not sure that's actually true.
Okay.
Because they have so many resources at their fingertips that the guys that are really good are scary good, especially drummers as well. And I got some really good drummers, a really good drummer on there, in addition to my friend Adrian, who's playing on most of the album. I have a virtuoso drummer, George Spanky McCurdy, who toured with me with Gaga for 3 tours, who's playing on this Radiohead cut that I did, and he's taking like this crazy solo. It's ridiculous.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you excited about the album?
Really excited, man. I appreciate just talking about it, so thanks.
I can see the enthusiasm. I'm happy for you.
I've never done a record before on my own. Right. So, you know, it's
it was time
to say something.
Yeah.
You know?
And who you say you have talking on it?
I have an actor who recently was on the TV show Ozark.
Yeah.
Which character?
His
name is Isai Morales.
And he was the
Mexican drug cartel in season one, Kingpin.
The Kingpin and the drug cartel in Ozark still right now.
And so he's doing a kind of a monologue over a little jazz piece that I did in the beginning.
Yeah.
And accompanying him is Brian Newman, a trumpet player, another good friend of mine, who plays trumpet with Gaga as well.
Right.
And Tony Bennett. When Gaga did that album with Tony Bennett, Brian Newman has been close to Gaga for a long time and a great band leader and jazz trumpet player. And he's all over that album. And he plays actually in the city like every week. He's super dope as well.
Now, Tony Bennett, I should know that name, shouldn't I?
He's the old guy.
I'm joking.
Oh, my God. Dad, the one time I know.
Yeah, I remember some jokes on here, too, right?
I know. I'm like killing the comedy. I'm so serious. Sorry about that.
No, you're not killing the comedy.
No,
you're bringing
great.
The interest.
Oh, yeah. No. I'm quiet
you're bringing
over
the
here.
Interest.
This is great.
I'm enjoying your...
Now, have you been waiting to put this album out? How long has it been in your head and you're trying to put it out on...
I think I've had a lot of ideas for a long time, and I just never was able to finish anything because sometimes I'm not the greatest self-starter. And so my friend Adrian was very helpful because he held me accountable. He's like, no, you're not blowing the session off. You're wasting my time. Let's go.
Right.
I needed that.
Yeah, it's like a personal trainer sometimes.
Yeah.
Did you have fear of failure or more just a fear of just doing it?
I don't know. I think it's just maybe fear of failure. People, I haven't done an album, so my first one, I got to make a statement. It's got to be really amazing. Hey, maybe if it isn't amazing, if it's not, I guess it's not the worst thing in the world. I'll just do another one and it'll be better.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? If you don't do anything at all, though, you never get anywhere. Mm.
Yeah. Sometimes we are our own worst enemy.
So I got to go for it. And hopefully people like this one. But if not, just keep on going and just move forward.
How many say they're going to like it? People going to like it. How many tracks you got on it?
11 tracks. 10 original and one cover of the Radiohead.
Oh, that's crazy.
What's the Radiohead cover?
It's called Weird Fishes. It's a kind of a deep cut Radiohead, and I call it Weirder Fishes because I made it really weirder.
Oh, I can't wait to hear this goddamn album.
When does it drop?
Friday.
Friday. That's
Friday. It's on a record called label called Ropadope Records, which has a lot of cutting edge stuff in terms of like experimental jazz, hip hop.
How
world.
Does it work? So do you make an album first and then go to a label with there? Do you talk to them first? Like, how does it, or like, who pays for it? Like, you know what I mean? Like, how does any of it, do they pay for your studio time?
It's all, I mean, it's a different arrangement for everyone, right? Uh-huh. In this particular case, in today's music world, I didn't really feel like I was that much of an entity to demand anything, you know? Mm-hmm. So I was like, Adrian and I, we did a record, and he had a connection with Ropadope, and then Ropadope liked it. Adrian is involved with Ropadope. It's really an imprint label. That's my friend Adrian's label called Modern Icon Records, and Ropadope has a partnership with him. Uh-huh. But the bottom line is, you know, I felt like sometimes it's good just to show what you can do first, you know, because nobody gives anything to you.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So if you have something, then you become more attractive as a performer.
Yeah,
so
give them the product first.
So that's what I'm doing here. I just really tried to make something and I'm trying to build something.
Which platform is most important now for you in terms of getting popular on?
Well, it's interesting because I've done some separate just little videos on my own on this circular keyboard that I developed.
On Instagram.
Yeah. And my Instagram is like really popping right now.
The fuck up. He got millions of people watching this fucking thing.
Really? On
Instagram? It's crazy. First of all, it's a keyboard that he invented.
No. Ooh, cool. Oh my God, that's a sick.
Well, me and him together, we came up with that idea.
You guys both did? Oh my God, that's a collab.
I'm trying to work all that out right now.
Is this a Black Dad collab?
But like you get a tiny piece of the action every time you get a play on Spotify. Like when you put it out there, where do you tell people to go and listen to your thing?
So this is going to be available on iTunes, Apple Music, Spotify, and Bandcamp. And that's what I'm going for right now.
No disrespect, we need to hear you.
Bandcamp's the best deal for you guys.
Right? Yeah.
Cool.
This is him playing the
circular keyboard.
Look
at your 360. You don't get confused what notes what notes.
What's your Instagram?
It's just my name, Brockett Parsons.
That trap music, baby. That trap.
Damn, 157,000 followers, yo.
It blew the fuck up. Now,
but look how many views he gets. It's like millions.
No, it's crazy. It's crazy. But it's so funky.
Yeah, that's good. You played that thing on your album, obviously.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
I want to make
thing
a record with you.
And now Scott Storch actually reposted one of his videos, and it got over a million views on his Instagram.
I want to make a record.
Can
with
I just
you.
Say, I if I saw this and then saw you on the street, I would not together. Think you were the same guy.
Oh yeah, because he cut his hair and stuff. Yeah. His hair was long. Is it short in here?
I got a haircut, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got a haircut.
Yes, you're much more a traditional sort of normal dude here. Much more rock and roll in the keyboard session.
I mean, it's really unbelievable.
And it lights up.
It does.
Beautiful.
You made that thing?
It was my idea.
And then
with a team of engineers, cool. Like we did it together. And the guys who helped me do it they're badass.
Or is it the only one of its kind?
Yeah.
There's a few of them now. There's a company called Piano Work that was developed by my partners, and I'm part of the company.
Oh, so do you own the rights to it or whatever? Do you make money off of them?
I mean, you know, we do, like we have a patent on this product. So yeah, and so they are making them.
Can
they're
I
custom
have,
made.
Can I have a
custom
sample made.
It takes
Christmas?
A few months to make one.
Can I get one else promoted?
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, can I have one as a present?
Yeah, can we have one?
What is the benefit? Other than the aesthetic.
I know, but then I stole your idea.
Well, you know, originally it was, I mean, straight up, it was the aesthetic that motivated me to do it, right? I wanted to do
genius.
Something that was like
genius.
Like
so genius.
Crazy,
genius.
Like rock star level.
I can't believe no one else even
thought about it. Because when you see the thing, it's like, oh, this makes sense to the brain.
Right.
It just made sense to me
like
when he first showed me. I was like, holy shit. Yeah.
Well, in all fairness, there have been a lot of people that have thought about it before.
Okay.
And there have been other iterations that have been, you know, in the ballpark of what that is that I wasn't even aware of when we did it. So the idea has been around a long time.
Okay.
It's just a matter of, like anything else, is actually the execution. I was the only one who was dumb enough to actually do it.
And then what is it, three keyboards next to each other?
Keyboard is three keyboards that are connected, yes.
But wait,
circle.
But it goes from the lowest note all the way to a highest note. It doesn't repeat notes? Or does it?
Well, the
it
thing
three,
is,
one, one,
not
one.
To get technical, but right, so you know, on a piano you have 88 keys. The human ear in traditional Western tuning can really only hear about 105 pitches.
That's it?
You know,
that's
110.
Not that many pitches.
So that keyboard has over 200
and
keys
only
on it.
Like 12
200
notes,
keys.
Though.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
you
yeah,
know
they
that?
Repeat. No, I knew.
Yeah,
I knew.
12 notes in an octave.
I felt dumb
octave,
for a sec, but I knew.
So, so what that is essentially is it solves the problem of like when you're a keyboard player, you got to have like, you know, a bunch of keyboards around you to cover various different parts and sounds when you're playing with a pop artist. Like at the Y, I had two keyboards,
right?
I got to play this dude's sound right here and then. And play a couple things at the same time.
You used to do them on top of each other.
Well, I could see Stevie Wonder getting one of these from you because he would always have those stacks of keyboards.
Right. Yeah.
This just takes that away. Like, you can have the drum sounds. You can have this. You can,
cool.
You know, I just, this is awesome.
So that's what I essentially really what I did is I just map out the sounds wherever I want to. It's controlled by a computer.
Mm. Right.
So each song is like has a different arrangement of sounds.
For the
so is it like a
horn.
Massive Ableton?
You could use Ableton with it. I use MainStage, but I'm actually thinking about changing to Ableton because Ableton is awesome.
Well, wow. So that is actually just
it's a controller.
I could see you and Herbie Hancock like teaming up and like turning it, you know? That'd
yeah,
be
Herbie's
awesome.
A great tip, but this is
actually a bass player is playing on one cut on the jazz tune that I did is James Genius, who actually tours with Herbie. And he plays in Saturday Night Live band as well.
Oh, okay.
He's like a legendary really like one of the best jazz or just in general just bass players. You know, a session bass player has been on tons of records and was glad to have him. He gave me some good advice and guidance and helped my tune out for sure.
Crazy.
You ever take that thing on tour or something?
You had it with Gaga, right?
Then it's been on
Gaga?
Two Gaga tours.
Oh, it has.
And it was actually in the 2017 Super Bowl performance with Gaga. I
what
played
about
it on
music
that.
Video?
On there.
Does it
at the
on
Super Bowl,
played
it. You can't get bigger than that shit.
An excellent question.
Right?
Yes. And you were with Gaga at peak.
I
want to
see it in a video.
I mean,
too.
That's one of like.
It's a star.
I feel like in the last 20 years, it's
I want to see it
one
in
of not that
video.
Many that big stars.
Yeah, yeah.
Gaga, Beyonce,
Gaga,
Bruno Mars. I mean, who, Taylor Swift.
How was the Super Bowl performance? Did you enjoy it or did it feel just too empty and commercial?
Man, you know, that was a trip for me. I mean, it's my whole life. I wanted to play on a big stage. That's the biggest stage.
Biggest.
Right.
It's the biggest stage. And, you know, that was awesome, man.
Yes.
That was
awesome. And you're so humble and you still can't believe it. I love that.
Yeah.
Did I can't. Like, you know, I just feel lucky to be
and
here.
And you're so approachable. Like, he's somebody you would never think he's.
No, because he really loves the music. He don't get
keyboard
caught up
daddy?
In all the shit.
Yeah. I wouldn't know.
I mean.
Keyboard daddy.
I wouldn't even think about putting three keyboards in a circle.
No, everybody. But once I saw it, I was like, this. Yeah,
I'm so impressed, and I wish I could afford one of those.
Is there another instrument that you could make into a circle? Like, can you do like a circle
a
trumpet?
Sitar.
Like,
does it
have to be a circle?
A sitar.
Just so you can play like this.
Does it have to be a circle? Like,
yeah. Because then it starts to look like porn, which we like.
That's right.
Do zigzag.
Well, I guess some
next.
Drummers have done something
zigzag,
like that, right?
Yeah. Oh, that's
cool. I mean, you know, like.
You get dizzy.
I mean, there's been a lot of course, there's been a lot of great musical, you know, performance innovations out there, like, you know. Tommy Lee did some crazy
upside
stuff on
down,
you know
drumming.
Like it was wild, and you know Keith Emerson back in the day on keys, and
yeah.
you know Parliament Funkadelic wow. did wild stuff. Bernie yeah. Worrell was the man, you know what
yeah.
I'm saying? So it's like the tradition is there. I just wanted to follow the tradition that was there before me.
Right.
You know, when you went to see a rock concert back in the 70s, if it was David Bowie or Queen, it was larger than life.
Right.
And I'm working for somebody who's larger than life, who is the shit when it comes to that. Any right. kind of performance at all, who grinds hard.
Right.
You know, who does not mess around and has the same passion that we have when we play in the Village.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so I was like, I don't even deserve to be on the stage if I don't have that passion. That's how I look at it. They could have anybody on the stage.
Right.
So why not try to improve my game a little bit?
It's inspiring. Now, Gaga, can she let me borrow a couple dollars? How'd she feel about loaning money to niggas? She for or against it?
Well, she's gone for the next level now, man. I mean, I haven't seen A Star Is Born yet, but even the promo
yeah,
even the promo mean. Alone gives me chills.
They're how much, so hard.
I want to know how much did one of these things run. How much is running somebody? Like the top of the line one that you guys build.
Not the garbage one.
And will you even build it for somebody? Like Scott Storch said he wanted to...
Well, you know what it
that.
Is? It's a custom-made piece.
Right.
And we have a website. I'm
right.
not, you know, I'm not really trying to, you know, like pitch that necessarily. They're good right. guys, though. They have a website, pianowark.com. And it's definitely like, it's like the cost of like a real grand piano or a car or something. Mm-hmm. It's up there.
Right.
Because it's every single piece is like made by us.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So the keys themselves are actually curved so that they can actually... fit the curve.
Right.
In other words, it's
yeah,
not
so
like
it's
we just take some.
It. Right.
It's not like we take some regular keys and
right.
just throw
like
them on
teeth
there.
Teeth on the fucking. It look like
no.
Play my piano. Yeah. So you have to curve each one to fucking.
No, obviously.
How
much
is that?
If we made a ton of them, we could make them for less. You know what I'm saying? But right now, because there's only a few of them in the world.
Right.
It costs a lot. You know.
Mm-hmm. And you've inspired me. I'm sorry.
It's no, inspiring, yeah. right?
You inspired me because I have an old idea that I've been kind of like leaving in the drawer, and it's called the like a Insta-tuck. Yeah, it's for the trannies.
Dude. Okay.
I'm glad I could be of inspiration.
You can tuck it away.
Insta-tuck?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you take pantyhose, you cut the elastic from around them,
okay.
and you cut like the leg of the a little part, this much of your, you can't see me on the radio.
Okay,
the
I can see you though. That's
you
a thick dick.
This, no, you take this much of the jeans on the bottom,
okay.
and you cut it, and then you take that, the elastic, and put it through that, and
okay.
you step into it, and you pull it up, and it's the instant tuck.
Mm. And it tucks automatically.
Yeah.
Brocket, goddamn it! Put some keys on there. Let's sell it.
I'm gonna
that's
do. I'm
problem.
Gonna market
that's
that.
Smart.
Isn't
it
awesome?
Yeah, it is.
Women can wear it as a g-string as well.
So,
but
yeah.
I'm gonna make it look nice, though. It's not gonna be that cheesy.
This turned into Shark Tank. What you got, Des?
What?
You got a product?
Right now, I don't
have
any.
I have to represent, honey.
Okay,
I don't have any product.
I like it.
I have to think about my ideas.
White daughter?
Okay, when I was like 10, I invented, it's still an amazing idea, I invented a life jacket for dogs,
okay.
but
okay.
which they make, but mine was different because it had a, like, not a sphere, it's the long one, a tubey one.
A cylinder?
A cylindrical yeah. piece of foam that you could clip on either side. You could remove it and it would clip under the dog's neck. So it's not like choking it like
right.
this, but flop around like that. And if he's in the water and getting all tired, because you know, they have those little
he'll
sleepy
keep his head up.
Heads
yeah.
that might dip back down into the water.
Okay.
And then his nosy will
but
go
But what the
under.
Hell is a cylindrical?
You know, it's like, so it's like a roll of foam. So it goes like this under the neck.
It's like a cylinder.
And then if he's in the water, floats like that. I'm trying to sell it, girl.
So it can be under the neck and hold
a white girl, honey.
I am pitching.
Cylindrical.
I'm about to hit the gong.
So it's patent pending and your doggy will be okay.
It's to keep the dog's head above the water?
It is for that because otherwise he has to use his little muscles and he might get tired and drown.
Girl,
I mean, is this in case they go in the pool?
This is in case they go in a pool, but really if you're on a boat or something, because you know how water gets, you know. Right,
okay.
We all know how water is.
I liked it.
Bit rough.
I got an idea
I've
too.
Been and smacked a flood. By a wave.
Tsunami girl.
I've heard. I've been
girls
hurt
to focus.
By water.
Oh.
What is your idea?
My idea is a little sleeve.
Yeah.
Concentrate, Karen.
Okay.
My idea is a sleeve, a white sleeve, like a white hand then it goes over your arm.
You're
and
filthy.
Right over half your face. So I can just use it at night to get cabs. Let's put this one up. This is just
you don't need it. There's something called Uber. That's major idea. Yeah, obsolete.
Obsolete.
Damn it.
Well, here's why Uber's great. Uber's my opportunity. Yeah. Ain't not focusing.
Take me everywhere.
Uber's my opportunity to be racist to the driver.
Right.
Because as soon as an Asian driver pops up, I'm like, nope.
Really?
My turn.
As soon as Asian driver comes up, I'm like, great, practice.
No. I'm like, nope. I need to get to where I'm going.
They charge a fee.
You do. You speak everything.
Say something. Say something in Mandarin for the people.
Say something.
Say something in Mandarin.
Say something.
Say something in Mandarin for the people.
What's that, Jericho? With a Pongyoman?
You're so typical. I knew you would say that.
It was a very boring sentence.
Why did you know Chinese now? Why do you know Mandarin? Did you live there?
Yeah, I went there to make a TV show about learning Chinese to do stand-up in Chinese.
There we go.
How's your Chinese?
I'm worried that I'm repeating, but did we talk about this the last time?
No.
Oh, we didn't, maybe.
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Did your Chinese laugh?
Yeah, were you?
They laugh. They laugh. Oh, they laugh. Okay. Yeah, they definitely laugh.
But it's not just learning Chinese. You got to learn what Chinese people laugh at.
Yeah, although, you know, that's
how long
like,
were you there, first
dick
of all?
Jokes and whatever?
Well, for the TV show, I was there 1 year, but then I liked it so much I stayed another year. But
really?
But
you,
I
you know he was crushing
Chinese
some Chinese
girls are
ass.
Did you dry hump
you know he was
there?
Crushing it over there.
Yo. Yeah, he must have
and
been.
He was speaking a language. They were like, okay, I got to suck him off.
He was dry humping those Chinese girls.
My second year in China, I was in a relationship.
For real?
Mm.
With a Chinese girl?
She was tight, yo.
No. What is
it? 10 out of real 10.
Is it true the vagina slanted that way?
Yeah, did it have?
Oh, come on.
It's a joke.
That's
listen,
a joke.
Did you?
But they don't shave their vajayjay.
Oh, no, they ain't shaving
yeah,
it.
Yeah, which is fine by me, man. That's the way.
The Chinese is always oh waste God. Not, want not.
Well, you always like clearing
they use
your throat.
Every part of
no,
the buffalo.
It's, I,
every
no.
part of the buffalo.
Because no, of pubic hairs. You know.
I mean, whatever. I got a gazillion
so
stories.
You dated her the last year you were there? And then you broke up and left the bitch?
No, we tried to keep it together, and then she got fucking rejected on a bloody tourist visa to come here.
Really?
Yeah, and then
were
in
you
the
dating
end,
a communist?
She just got rejected, man. You know, there's just they worry when a girl in her early mid 20s was coming to New York, not married, no kids. They think she's coming to give handjobs. Like literally, they think she's a high risk for trafficking or you know.
Now, when you say handjobs, you mean manicures?
I mean manicures, yes. Okay.
You could have just
that's
told
the Asians.
She was
they
coming
do that, right?
To give you a hand. Oh. Like,
no, actually, well, whatever. We're not getting too boring. The mistake we made was she applied to come and to visit me. She should have just applied and said, I'm coming for 2 weeks to buy fucking clothes and sacks and head back.
Right.
But unfortunately, she applied as a coming to visit me, and it just it obviously triggered them. So she got rejected. Which
are
they might think
touch?
You're going to try to marry her or keep her here while she's here.
Whatever they thought, they rejected her.
Right.
So.
Now, were you relieved as a boyfriend about to break up with a bitch?
Nah.
Whoa, well. I wanted to see you, but my government says,
Shren Shren. Her name was Shren Shren. I would have married her for
you're
sure.
You're good looking.
Parents,
I'm sure she fell
I met
in
her
love
parents.
What's her name, Shren Shren?
Shren Shren, yeah.
I nailed that, Shren Shren.
You're
Shren
good looking now. So I
there you go. You see, I know Shren Shren. You have to get the first of it. You have to sing it. You have to sing it.
I'm kind of feeling your love.
So do you still...
You feeling my look?
She's into it,
yeah. I like your look.
She's liking it. Do you still talk to Shren Shren?
I still every now and then I check in with Shren Shren. She got a new boyfriend, but they're not married.
An Asian dude, a Chinese dude,
a Chinese guy. Yeah.
Oh, she's,
you know, I fucked that up for him.
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
There's too much room at the inn.
I didn't know you had
kidding.
All that.
It's completely
that
racist.
I didn't know you had all that. No, it's not. I like.
Trust
it.
Me, it's very average. It's very average.
Who do you think you're talking to?
Yes, honey. Let me find out. He got funny. A whole lot of junk up in that.
I actually don't.
There.
It's very high. I'm kidding.
Kadonkadon.
Insta-tuck model.
So when you were there. You didn't come back and visit. You just stayed there the whole time.
The first year I stayed there the whole time, except for 2 weeks I came back to visit my mom here in New York. Okay. But the second year I kind of lived in Beijing, but still went and did festivals and came back to Ireland once or twice.
Okay.
So, now, what exactly do you do, though?
Comedian.
Oh, I'm a stand-up comedian.
You're a comedian.
That's my full-time job.
Yeah, he's a comic.
You got to be kidding me. I thought you were a musician.
No!
Brock is the musician.
I just like to sound like I know what I'm talking about. Yeah. I'm busting out Ableton and
damn.
Shit like that. Trying to.
He knows how to fool you.
The only reason I know
you.
About Ableton is, funnily enough, in 2012, I did this
you.
Learning how to
you.
Play drums stand-up
you.
Show.
Right.
I'm coming
and we used
to see
Ableton
you.
To trigger a set of... of an electronic
how many
drum
learning
kit.
How-to shows do you get
that's
to do?
That's my thing, yo.
Son of a bitch.
I'm a fucking immersion, you
that's
know, experienced comedian.
That's
let's
what he's got a fish out of water ass nigga.
That we know, like,
fish
you know, people
water.
Like Godfrey, who is an angel,
yeah.
man. That's a great dude. And Artie Fuqua.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure, let's talk
and
about all the black
with
let's talk about
he
all
yeah.
the black
comedians. Oh, yeah,
you know
with us.
Yeah, I'm close with
guys.
I'm close with them all.
Yes, he performs with us every night.
Well, I'm going to tell you something, what you guys don't know. I'm very intuitive. I'm a highly intuitive. intuitive person, so I was both there, Artie and
Godfrey's
intuitive psychic reader.
Is that
I used to read them psychically. Yeah, you remember that?
I remember that. Back, yes.
I predicted Soul Plane.
She predicted that Walmart truck for Artie.
Yeah, I was just going to say. Did you get a bit of a black feeling? Was there a dark day when
she
you
said, take the next exit? It was like, what?
Motherfucker.
I'm going to survive it and it's going to be worth it.
Motherfucker, I see you in a car accident.
Change your life.
Yes. But no, if you think I'm bullshitting, just tell, running my mouth. But I really did predict a lot of their career moves and so forth. And
Godfrey?
Both of them. Godfrey.
They still out there. I saw Godfrey last night. They was out there.
I see Godfrey all the time.
Yeah. Very generous, very good guys.
Godfrey wants to learn Chinese, but he never actually commits to it.
Yeah, he was just getting enough just to get through a conversation.
Right, that guy's got that guy's got a great ear. You know he learned that shit in 5 seconds. He's an incredible mimic.
It's crazy. It's really, you can tell he stayed in his room listening to TV and albums. Because a motherfucker can do a parrot, he can do a fucking koala, and then he can do a killer Bill Cosby.
I'm going to go on the record, even if I get in trouble. I think he's somebody that has not been given enough success for his talent.
I agree with that. Like I told Godfrey a long time ago, we're about to do a documentary about some of the black comics at the Comedy Cellar. But I told Godfrey years ago, when I first started playing the Cellar, when people came up to say who's playing tonight, they only asked for two people. Colin Quinn and Godfrey. Mm. Period. And that was for years. That motherfucker kept them doors open. They don't give Godfrey the credit that he fucking deserved. But Godfrey was the dude down there.
He was the 7-Up dude.
Yeah, he was the motherfucker putting asses in seats way before anybody.
Yeah.
And it's just the truth.
That's just a weird game.
I wonder what happened.
No, he's still performing. He still does his thing.
But he just hasn't. Yeah, I feel like he should have more breaks.
I've seen him.
But everybody, everybody's life should be that. But.
And there's so many good comics in the Cellar that haven't had a big break either.
Yeah.
What about Artie? Sometimes. He's funny as hell. I hate going to see him because he likes to poke fun at me and shit. I got to let him too. Yeah,
that's still Artie.
Damn.
The only time I was at the Box was with Artie.
Yeah.
The Box, the club?
Yeah, the club.
You only went there one time, huh?
The club.
One time in my life.
Funny, I spent too much time in that fucking place.
Oh, really?
Boy, did I. And when you see them close those curtains, money, some shit going on in them booths.
Artie's fun, though. He's very generous.
Me and Mary used to go there all the time.
It's hard to get in. I would like to be a comedian. I don't see any transgender comedians that can serve it like I do. I have, you know.
So who's stopping you?
Who's a transgender?
You don't gotta
comedian?
Share the money.
Y'all motherfuckers,
you don't gotta share the money with
let
anybody.
Me in. Give me a goddamn gig.
Who's a transgender comedian? Do you know any?
Well, there's one in.
He's the only one
in the
gave
UK.
Me a shot.
There's one in the UK, and then I gotta feed the meter.
Sherrod is the only one gave me a shot.
Thank you.
Get yourself to a mic.
Yes.
Now, when are you going back to Houston? Ain't you going back to Houston soon?
Well, I'll be back in Austin in about 6 months because I'm going to Key West to perform for Fantasy Fest.
Oh, I know Fantasy Fest.
October 19th.
Yes.
Get to walk around. I can let it all swing out.
Hopefully, it's still Fantasy Fest left after this hurricane. Michael, stand shit up.
I thought the motherfucker was in the Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah, it's Gulf, but it's still blowing over. Nigga, we can feel the wind up here in New York.
Oh, shit.
Everything's getting torn up. You think it's going to be one little pocket of goodness and everything else is going to be on the ground?
Mm-hmm. Damn, I want to go to Fantasy Fest. I think the Keys are going to be all right. I make like $2,000
performing. The Keys get hit like a... We'll see that.
I can make so much money just performing on the street in Fantasy Fest, man. I made like $2,000 in one
weekend. Remember last year, the Keys got destroyed by a hurricane. Last year was what hurricane was that, the last one?
Damn, I want to go to Key West.
The last one that hit Florida in last year destroyed the Keys. Everybody had to fly out.
That's
you remember
right,
that shit?
Right. That was a bad one.
I got family down there. All of them have to get out of fucking Ocean Reef. They had to buy their own fuel for the plane to fly out because there was no more fuel left. They had the airport with no fuel. I'm like, holy shit.
For real?
Yeah, that was rich people problems, but they got out.
God damn.
Isn't it crazy how when there's
a
hurricane?
A different,
I don't know what to do now.
It's hitting like Tampa.
No,
I'm
just
think,
play
but,
it
yeah,
by ear.
Still
play it by ear. You'll be
all
right.
Shit up.
I can't remember any names City's of any hurricane. You know when they like if there's a hurricane, it's all you
Katrina,
can think of. All you can think of. It's like you. That's just the name. And then after it's done,
it's
but
gone.
Do they ever
couldn't
name it after any white
like a one night stand.
They do it alphabetically.
Yeah.
Well, maybe they do, huh, right?
Last year was Hugo, right?
Hugo.
Oh,
you used
sorry,
to do a bit.
I have that bit, yeah, yeah.
Hugo is like a Latin
really
name.
Do that anymore.
Yeah, it is.
Yes,
yeah,
no,
you used to do a bit like years ago
black
before
I mean,
Katrina
white
and Sandy.
Yeah.
You know.
But it was Katrina and Katrina.
I think they just picked
but I added Sandy. I did it for the. I actually did that joke for
Irma and shit like that.
For Joy Behar's Hurricane Relief Show.
Hurricane Alicia, Hurricane.
But I just changed it up.
Name some hurricanes.
Katrina, Sandy. Fucking Floyd,
Gloria.
Hugo, okay. Gloria.
Damn, motherfucker. You, who are you, the hurricane specialist?
I'm a meteorologist, some might call. Yeah. But there's a bunch of them.
Damn.
But yeah, we'll see. But well, have fun down there.
Thank you.
And you going down there for how long?
Well, for Fantasy Fest.
What is Fantasy Fest?
Fantasy Fest is
it's a fuck fest.
It's like it's a drinking and fucking Mardi Gras
for grown people.
Yeah,
it's in like Mardi Gras, you might run into some children. Not a Fantasy Fest,
but in a cleaner setting, you know, on not a fantasy. Street. From the 19th until like everybody the 26th, rich. All night, all rich. Day, rich people,
rich,
very generous,
rich.
And I could just stand there and be like, "Help me buy my pussy. Will you help me buy a pussy? Help me buy a pussy. I'll help you buy a pussy." And that's all I got to say. And they'll just throw money at me.
That might be the title.
Pussy. And that's why I wore this cat dress tonight.
Help
I wore
me buy
this
a pussy.
Cat dress, you know.
Are you promoting?
Yeah, I'm trying to buy a pussy.
Yeah, you are.
How much a pussy running? Is it as much as those circular keyboards?
I'm talking about a real cat, like a real meow kind of cat. I want to keep what I got.
I want Brockett and his guys at that keyboard plot spot
yes.
to build her a pussy.
I like
and
what I got.
And have all the yeah. notes yeah. that every...
360 degrees.
360.
How you doing?
Wrap it around.
Computer, auto,
help
Tron,
me buy my pussy.
Whatever.
Will you help me buy my pussy? That's my new damn my song. Let's make it. Hey, let's make that a hit, please.
Help we got it.
Help me buy my pussy.
Help me buy my pussy.
By DT. Damn
I think
tranny.
That is a hit.
DT, damn tranny.
But do you want one or are you just kidding?
I don't want no pussy.
You two have too much fun with your gang gang.
You know.
What's more fun? You think a pussy
traumatized by sticking a finger in one? Why would she
look,
want one
honey,
herself?
Yeah, you like having your fun the way
of
you like
course.
Having your fun.
Oh, honey, come on now. I like the deep sea dive. Heading down the Hershey Highway. A vanilla highway, whichever one.
Yeah, Dez is a Dez needs somebody to push on his
ass,
back.
Honey. You want to show
like,
me your ass.
I like to call it white chocolate.
white chocolate.
Ooh, I got some chocolate for that little, you know.
Sexual chocolate, ladies. Yeah, the sexual chocolate.
Yes, honey. We should do a show together.
Yeah, y'all should. A porn.
Yes. You like my
I'm milk. Not following you to the bathroom.
Will you help her buy a pussy?
Please.
I'm being a jerk.
Please. Can I use your white privilege card?
Oh, you can have my white privilege card all day.
Hilarious. I have one too. I'm the only black dude.
They need
with a
that
white
though.
Privilege.
White privilege
yeah, you
card.
Yeah.
Do you, can I borrow your white privilege card?
I got
Let's
it.
Do a commercial.
The Jew is not white, but yes, of course. Please.
Now, bro, yes, she's a Jew.
But you got blonde hair.
I present. Yeah. I present. Yeah. I know.
That's right.
I know
she's whiter than a coast.
Yes.
So, Brockett, name of the album again. Give me the name of the album.
Yes, you're on Caucasian.
I'm kind of kidding, but not really.
Focus, guys. What's the name of the album again?
The Brockett Ship.
Brockett Ship, and it's coming out Friday.
Friday.
Yes, and I get a free copy, of course.
Of course.
I can't wait to hear this goddamn album. And you know, and where can people pick it up?
Apple Tunes. Apple Music, iTunes, yeah. Bandcamp, Spotify.
Is there more Sam Goody? I go to my music from Sam Goody.
Sam Goody got it. Sam Goody.
Yeah. Nobody go to Sam Goody no more. No.
Goody.
Who's Sam Goody?
Goody got it.
Thank you. Yeah. Goody got it.
There'll be CDs too.
Okay. And you when you going back on tour? Anything? What's going on with you? Plug some stuff.
I think I have a gig coming up, possibly October 27th. It's at a party, mansion party in Beverly Hills, and maybe some big celebrities there. I'm not going to mention names, but I'm playing with a circular keyboard, doing maybe a 20-minute set of like hip hop and trap music.
Oh, that's going to be dope.
Nice.
That is going to
be dope.
Damn, that's
going to
be dope.
I'll
be there. I'm coming. God damn it, Brock, I'm coming.
I'm looking for tracks right now.
Dez, what you doing? Plug some stuff. Do your pluggy plugs.
I'm not doing well. Oh, if anyone is in Wilmington, North Carolina, I'm doing that Dead Crow Comedy Club the beginning of December.
I like Wilmington. Cool.
The rest of my stuff is in Ireland, actually, so I don't have much to plug.
Okay, but still plug. We got fans in Ireland.
Oh, my Instagram is at Des Bishop, DESBISHOP. Get some Instagram followers.
Okay. We got Irish fans, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you got Irish fans?
Of course. We got Fingians and Proddies. You got your fucking filthy
He's
fingers.
He's dropping
those
his Irish local jokes.
Stupid proddies. Either you're a proddy cunt
well,
or you're
a Irish,
bastard.
Listen, I got a new special coming out in Ireland in November.
What's the name of it?
Jesus, what the fuck did I call it? It's been a year since I filmed it. It was delayed.
That's so crazy.
It's delayed. It's called One Day You'll Understand.
Okay, there we go. Nice.
Sold the shit out of it.
Want to plug some pluggy plugs?
Well, I'm always working on something, okay?
Yes.
So I have a play that I'm working on, and it's the name of the book. This shouldn't have happened to me, but I'm glad it did.
Okay.
So I can't say when it's going to be finished, but, you know, keep your ear out. You can find me on Facebook, Diana Taylor Live, Instagram, Diana Taylor Live. I'll be performing in Key West, like I said, hopefully. If the hurricane don't stop me.
Right.
On the 19th to the 26th. And then I'll be going to L.A. performing at a club called Rage. In the what they call it? The West Hollywood area.
West Hollywood. Yeah. I was going to say it, but I didn't want to be predictable on it. West so, Hollywood. That's yeah. where y'all be. You know where y'all
that's
be.
That's where I'll be. And while I'm here in New York, I'm definitely going to be making my way down to the Village Underground. And
yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Well, the Underground's not doing music anymore.
Yeah, it's all
what? It's all comedy.
Yeah, yeah. Underground is all comedy now.
Yeah,
what?
And the fat, even the fat pussycat upstairs, the little lounge is comedy
the
now.
Fat black pussycat.
Yeah, yeah, the little comedy. Lounge they have is comedy now. So comedy took over everything.
Took over, man.
Comedy took over everything. No more music at Village Underground. Right. No more bands.
Good time for you. Good time have the band to be a dudes. Comedian.
The band dudes play with the comedians like behind us.
Yeah,
now.
But do they have open mic over there?
No,
no.
It's gotta be live.
Music is gone.
They'd lose money.
They book it just like the Comedy Cellar. It's a book show.
Yeah.
We're comedians.
It's time to become a comedian.
The groove still got music.
I need
music.
To come to y'all motherfucking shows and just sit in the audience and have y'all like bring me up every now and then.
Yeah. Bring me up and every now and then.
It's not like you said, come on, I'm sick of song with me. Come on, give me a couple of jokes in the middle
she
of my set.
She thinks it's like, what's love got to do with it? When Tina Turner first got, they used to pass the mic around the room. On the street, pass it to her in the back, the church girl. Anime. Give it to the church girl.
Anime.
I can't get no references. That's fucked up, yo.
I can put a word in for with Gnome right, for you. I'll tell Gnome. White daughter, what you want to say?
I'll be at Greenwich Village Comedy Club tomorrow, Thursday the 11th at the 9:45 show. And yes. then next week from the 14th, the 15th to the 18th, I'll be in Nice, France.
Yes.
Selling my pilot.
It's pronounced nice. It's nice.
I'll be in Nice Cannes, France. So if anybody's there, I guess hit me up and tell me what's good.
What, are you going to like a television festival or something?
Yeah, basically. To like sell this thing we wrote. And then my Instagram is Karen Margolis, K-E-R-E-N Margolis. And you guys can always hit me up.
Yes. Oh, what a show. Don't forget October 16th at the Comedy Cellar. We got the Surrounded 4 show. It's gonna be Mayron. It's all gays and men. So I'm hosting the show. And then we got Sam J, Mayron, I think Mateo, Emma Willman, Jessica Kirsten. So make sure you get your tickets for that. That's October 16th, 10 p.m. at the Comedy Cellar. Go to ComedyCellar.com. And then we have Hell Night on October 30th. It's gonna be such a good show. It's about near-death experiences. It's all comics talk about near-death. We got T.J. Miller, Artie Lang, Ron Bennington, Lynn Coplitz.
You don't have Artie Fuqua
and Greer Barnes. Yeah, Artie, but Artie did it last year, too.
Oh, right, okay.
He's got to almost die again just to come back on the show. Artie Lang does it every year because he almost dies every year. So make sure you go to ComedyCellar.com and get the tickets for that, for Hell Night, or, Surrounded 4 next Tuesday. So both Tuesdays at 10 p.m., Comedy Cellar. That's it. Y'all have fun?
Great awesome. Time.
Thank Look
great,
at that. That was harmless.
It was painless. Very diverse.
Thank
yes,
you.
Yes.
Trying to keep
Thank
it, you know,
so
trying
much.
To keep it real. Race
I look
Wars.
Forward to coming back.
You have me coming. Bye.
Boss. Look at everybody boss. Looking at me. I am the one that everybody wanna see. I'm boss. 128, let it be. They lied to you in school, that's cool, now let it be. In a galactic magic stereo. Here we go, in the middle of a new miracle. Round the amusement park, similar to the circular arc that be connecting to people's hearts. We get them with a vibe, hit them when it's live. Cause it really isn't a facade. No, we never lie. Only manifest harmony over the spaced out groove. With the brother mine only on the bass. How cool. Rocket, rocket, get up in the rocket. Alien Adrian up in the pocket. Watts of rocket, Bacchus, I get far off of the planet when I drop the hotness. Dope is dope, uncut with the focus, bro. I hit the game with the rope of dope. Mine is racing, mine is chasing constellations. Stop the hate and you can never stop rotation. I'm the greatest, Ali status. We got the issue, can't body train us. In a gravity, no, it ain't the earth. This is planet 128 in the universe. Let me do the verse. I am too berserk for the art of rap, for the industry. Somebody tell them that it's a rap. We in the upper outer space, we'll never land. We get like the man who went and built the Neverland. Number 9.
Travels me sometimes. Would it be? Would it be? Who am I? I could take you along with me. Maybe then we can go to planet Earth.
Boss 128, second half a bit letter. I don't follow a trend like them. I'm a trendsetter, vindictive with the pen, and I got a vendetta. Been better than my comp, so they really can never win ever. Trying to copy the portrait, it's unfortunate when you think you can get up in orbit with the extraterrestrial, celestial, heavenly body artist. I'm the best for yo. I am phenomenal. I'm a phenomenon. I'm a phenomenal tanner with a phenomenal mind. I'ma never resign. I forever will rhyme, even when they tell me to stop. I'ma never retire, cause I'm innovating rhyme in a state of mind that'll make them wanna stay alive for the grace of fire. Till I'm number 9. We'll be right back.